So, we're changing our name to Revival Church Billericay. As I said, it's one thing to call ourselves a revival church, but it's really another thing entirely to live it out. Nailing our colours to the mast, as I said, is a bold thing to do, but I really believe that's what God wants from us. It's what I think you'd probably call a set-up job from the Holy Spirit. But really to encourage God and to be encouraged by God to pursue an unfettered lifestyle, really, and to know to be a church that knows no limits. As followers of Jesus, we follow someone whose ministry was marked by pushing the proverbial envelope or taking risks. Well, actually, they weren't really risks in the typical sense, because Jesus had a pure faith which saw and believed the outcome beforehand, but what he often did appeared risky to other people. And I guess this is a little like where we're at the moment. For example, setting 5,000 people or more, 5,000 men at least, down on the grass in groups of 50, I think I remember, before they'd broken the bread and the fish and distributed it. That appeared to be taking a risk. Why not see how you went with breaking it, then sit them down when you got the result? Jesus did it the other way round. It was to create an environment for God to do something amazing, way beyond human ability. So really, that's the plan, excuse me, for Revival Church Billericay, and it's an exciting challenge which we relish as a leadership and trust that as a church you will relish this. As Jane said, obviously pray into it. Get it into your psyche. Get it into your prayers that actually you get what God is doing. We pray for that revelation. We all get what God is doing. So we own it and we're not just like passengers behind the steam train. So what is revival? And it's a good question. Revival has everything to do with bringing something back to life or a spiritual awakening. That's really what the word revive means. Often revival conjures up images of the Holy Spirit falling and lives being instantly changed. Being revived spiritually in such a way is really only the starting point, and as exhilarating as an encounter with the Holy Spirit may be, so I just lost my place pressing the technology. If we do nothing with it, little fruit will be seen in our lives or born through us. It's a sad fact. Well, actually, another sad fact is that many of the world's greatest revivals often petered out over time. And whilst individuals and nations were impacted, they often weren't stewarded in a way that enabled them to be built upon for future generations, which is actually quite tragic. Without discipleship, without apostolic leadership to take people deeper and further, a church will inevitably go into just maintenance mode, consolidating the good that's happened, but not pursuing new horizons. So what you really end up is with form, not life, which is obviously what we don't want. Here's a couple of scriptures to remind ourselves of the sort of revival life Jesus intends for his church and us. Jesus said this in John 10:10, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly, not settle for a plateau and second best. He also said this in Matthew 6:10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, not like it is just where everyone else is doing the same thing around us, as in heaven. When Jesus entered humanity around 2,000 years ago, his mandate was to restore to us the fullness of God's abundant life, of which sin had robbed mankind. It's one thing to be born again spiritually through Jesus and to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's another thing, really, to allow these experiences to fully transform us and then to transform the society in which we inhabit. So over the next couple of months, like James says, we're going to unpack various aspects of what revival can mean to us personally, to us as a church, and the world around us. It's great also, as well as having Nigel Langford come along to take one of those Sundays, we've got Adi Amuba, who's one of the co-founders of Christian Concern. He spoke at one of our meetings before, and he's going to be speaking really what it looks like for us to impact society. So we're really privileged to have Adi back in October, I think it is. Anyway, today we begin with personal revival, really. This is a starting point. And Galatians 2:20 gives us really that platform, that starting point for this. It says this: I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Personal revival doesn't begin with an experience that makes us feel better, as wonderful as that may be. And I'm not knocking those personal experiences. It actually begins with the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to impact every area of our lives so that we are equipped to represent Jesus effectively. It might seem like a paradox to say that being born again, that's having our spirits brought back to life through relationship with Jesus, begins with the act of dying. But being a Christian isn't a plug-in or even an upgrade to make our lives a little bit better or just run a little bit smoother, as convenient as that may be. Or if you like analogies, and it's not Jesus isn't the cherry on the cake, as I recall one famous actress whose name I can't remember was once she once said, and she'd given her life, well, she'd become a Christian, and she said, really, this becoming a Christian now is now the cherry on the cake. Sadly, she misses the point. He is everything, that is Jesus. He's the one who sustains us completely. So to receive Jesus' life, the starting point is handing over our lives to him. And some of this is just reminders today and reminders myself. Total surrender to him. And in return, he gives us his life. And you might have heard this before, but the Bible teacher, Derek Prince, once said, he called it the divine exchange, this transaction. We hand over our life, he gives us his life. The divine exchange. I believe it's possible to be born again, to receive Jesus as our Saviour and Lord, and yet to not allow the potential of this experience to impact our lives any more than having an assurance that we're forgiven. That is possible. It is a possibility. The pilot light's on, but that's just about it. Sadly, this happens time and time again in the Christian church. People pray the prayer, quote unquote. And I put my hand up to say I've been involved in the past in leading people this, and I've been satisfied that I've actually closed the deal. And that was that. And this person has their place secured in heaven, which is wonderful. But they are left with the impression, really, there's no more to experience. Imagine for a moment, and I have to imagine this, as you'll find out, a maternity unit in a hospital. And as a new baby is brought into the world, the midwife and the mother give a cheer at the new arrival. And then they leave it to its own devices. I think we'd all agree that the child really wouldn't survive long without ongoing nurture to help it grow and to mature. Here's what Jesus had to say. Matthew 28:17-20, familiar verses, and then I'll explain why I'm quoting them. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus' command was not just to make new converts, to get people born again, but to make disciples. Crossing the threshold from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light is really not the end of the journey. And things playing out. Excuse technology. It's actually where we start to learn about allowing Jesus to be fully Lord of our lives, and for this life to affect every area of our life. Another Bible teacher I want to quote is Andrew Womack. You might have heard of him, and he famously says, "I've left, but I haven't arrived." And I think this should really be something that we all embrace. I've left, but I haven't arrived. We're on a journey. So in this whole experience, we, the church, need to play our part in helping new converts to be fully birthed. Yes, we have a personal responsibility for our spiritual growth, but supported and encouraged by the church family as well. And what I mean by being fully birthed is that people haven't completely embraced or understood what this new life that they're being born into is about. Like I said earlier, I've got people to pray the prayer. They thought that was it. I hadn't got really round to explaining to them there was more. Whatever analogy you want to pick, the mother co-labouring, literally to push the baby out, or forceps being used to pull a baby out, every new believer likewise needs all the help they can get to be fully birthed. So what does being fully birthed as a Christian look like? And you'll see where this is going regarding personal revival in a moment. So yes, we all have a personal responsibility for our spiritual growth. But for starters, every new believer needs to know that they are fully forgiven because of Jesus. And they now belong to a Heavenly Father who loves them, and to have an unshakable assurance of their salvation. That's baseline. You have to have that assurance when you're born again. It's not, I've said the prayer, the Holy Spirit wants to work that in us fully so that we are convinced, that we don't live life, am I, aren't I saved? Romans 8:15 magnificently says this, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption of sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." We need to know that we belong to God as our Heavenly Father. We have to know that. That's what God wants for us. Without this revelation, and it can be encouraged by sound teaching from church, by our own Bible study as well, new believers will struggle, I would hazard, to embrace the fullness of God's life for them. As an aside, there's a whole area of teaching that I plan to do in due course that God's starting to download to me, really explaining that the Bible isn't about one father. In fact, it's about two. The other father in the Bible is the devil, who is called the father of lies. And the choice is ours into whose hands we which father we entrust our lives to. Let's put it like that. The one who created us and loves us so passionately that he gave his only son to die for us, or the one whose hatred of God is only matched by his hatred of humanity. And the tragic thing is, those who have him as their master are oblivious to the fact that he is their father. When Christianity is simply sold as an add-on, people will not see the urgency, really, I would say, an importance of severing all ties with their old life and, of course, their old master, the devil, who's doomed to eternal destruction, actually is hell-bent on taking his children with him. So once again, our new life in Jesus, our personal revival, begins by surrendering our lives totally to God. Next up, being fully birthed means knowing as a living reality the work and the person of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It could be said that when we receive the Holy Spirit at conversion, we have him, that is God. But there's more. Not only does God want us to have him, but he also wants to have us, for us to be consumed by him. A conversion, the Bible says that we are baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27. We are placed in God and belong to him. But God also wants his life to saturate us so that his fullness lives in us in every way. That's the other side of it. This is what the baptism in the Holy Spirit is about. Not only do we have God as a spirit of adoption, like I've already quoted, and have a Heavenly Father, but now he has us as we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us and flood our whole being, really, with the life of God. Whilst we might benefit personally from that, and we do benefit personally from being baptized in the Holy Spirit, I would say it isn't the primary reason for being baptized in the Holy Spirit. We aren't the primary intended beneficiaries. Acts 1:8 says, "But you'll receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth." So the baptism in the Holy Spirit is essentially to enable us to be supernatural witnesses for Jesus in our everyday life. And if you read Isaiah 61, where it talks about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, yes, that's talking about Jesus, but it's talking about anyone who's anointed with the Holy Spirit. Ultimately, if you read on from that, it talks about it's actually for bringing God's life to the world. The Holy Spirit comes upon us as a reason. We benefit. When we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, we know the love of God. We experience God, and yet it's for a reason. It's for the people out there as well. The devil hates it when someone turns their back on his rule and reign in their lives. But if he can't have them, he will do all in his power to hinder them from living the fullness of that life they found in Christ. He does this, really, in the same way as he's always done that. It's by deception. He's the arch-deceiver. He lies to people. In the same way as the arch-deceiver infiltrated in the book of Genesis, the Garden of Eden, to throw lies into the situation, he still works in the same way, throwing doubt upon the consistency and the reliability and the meaning of key passages in scriptures. And this includes the whole thing about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, which really neatly leads me on to another really key area that hinders us being fully birthed, entering into that full personal revival as a Christian that God intends for you and he intends for me. It has to really do with how we view the Bible and our heart attitude toward God's word. This is really, really vital and key for us to get. If we're in two minds as whether to believe certain bits of the Bible, we and the church really get thrown into confusion and often division. You've probably seen it yourself, and it is the way it is. Just think for a moment of some of the most contested areas of the Bible and consider who's behind the conflict and confusion that surrounds them and for what destructive outcome. I'll give you the answer. It's the devil. He's sowing those lies of confusion and doubt to scupper, to hinder, for the church to plateau, to not go to those new horizons, that we sung about, to not experience that revival life we asked for God to do in us. I thought I'd just give you a few examples. Creation, and you probably can think of more yourself. These are just a few. Did God really make the world, like the Bible tells us, or did we evolve? Reject the first as God as creator, and buy out of the fall of mankind through Adam, and thus the need for a saviour. Just think about that for a moment. That's one of the things. You also, your personal destiny is intrinsically connected to a God who purposefully made us, and also the potential for a new heaven and a new earth at the end of time. So who might have an interest, really, in stopping the church believing these truths? What about the virgin birth? If Jesus wasn't God, then fully God, that is, or God... Yeah, if Jesus wasn't God, we are doomed. We are doomed. Who might have an interest in stopping us believing that truth? Once again, the devil. And once more, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, such a key regarding our personal revival. And Jesus' miraculous ministry was accomplished because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, he was God because he was perfect. but he was empowered after his baptism by the Holy Spirit. The amazing exponential growth of the early church was a result of it being empowered by the Holy Spirit. But some suggest we don't need this experience nowadays. Who might have an interest in stopping the church believe these truths? The reason I'm saying this is that our personal revivals can be hindered. And as a church, we need to support people, enable them to enter into the fullness of all that God has for them. Don't let anyone sell you short of what being a Christian is all about. Putting your trust in the word of God, the Bible, will bring you personal revival. Here's what it says in Proverbs 20:22. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. And here's the line. For they are life. This is the word of God. They are life to those who find them. The word of God brings personal revelation. When we receive it as revelation, our hearts are inclined to it. When we close our hearts to the word of God, we're cutting off one area of personal revival immediately. Well, I don't agree with that. We die inside, or we don't get life inside. Think about it. So, now just in sort of bringing this to a close, really, and it'll be good at the end, I'm not quite sure yet, but to have some sort of response time, just to allow the Holy Spirit to do something in our lives. But some practical things, suggestions that we can do to fan into flame the life of Christ in us. So we experience this personal revival, and that so we live out what being a revival church is about. Well, first off, we do need to establish ourselves in a church family. The Bible says, do not stop meeting together as God's people. The Bible may well have also tell us we've been placed spiritually in the body of Christ. That's what's happened when we've given our lives to the Lord. But we also have to live this out. We have to put legs on this ourselves. If we don't turn up, if we don't engage in it ourselves, that's our responsibility to live this out. I'm not saying this to beat us around the head at this moment. I'm just saying this because it needs saying. Occasional church attendance really is akin to Christianity being the cherry on the cake, like that actress famously said. If Christ is our life, which Colossians 3:4 says, then so is his church. And I say that because this is where we get our life. It's not that we must attend church, but actually church is where we get our life. Jesus wants us to be fully birthed, to enter into that full revival life. He set up his church, not as something we must do, but something from which we get life. To give life, we need to understand that. And he loves the church, and we have to love what Jesus loves if we're his followers. On top of committing ourselves wholeheartedly to Jesus' church, joining a life group, like a midweek group, is a great way of really growing our relationship with God through relationship, teaching, ministry and prayer. And obviously flagged that one this morning. And we've got four groups that meet already. We'd love to have more. And if you want to open your home to host one, we'd love to have that. It's just a great way of building relationship and growing together. Acts 2:42 says, and they devoted themselves, that's the early church, who had amazing, amazing exponential growth. But one of the reasons was they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to submit themselves to the word of God, that is, the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, reminding themselves why they did what they did while they were alive, and prayers. Another thing to help us fan into flame that revival life in us, be a self-feeder. It's only babies and toddlers who are spoon-fed. In the same way that we're attentive to our physical well-being, we really need to be diligent with regard to our spiritual well-being as well. Eating well and exercising, we ensure we have we're physically alive and alert. Likewise, we really need to do all we can to be spiritually alive. We've got a responsibility before God to do that. In this nation, we are blessed with an abundance of Christian teaching, online, TV, books, resources, audios. We have so much, you know, we get, like you do, sort of like flyers from Christian organisations around the world where some Christians have yet to get their hands on a Bible. We have so much, a wealth of stuff. But we need to embrace that. You know, what are we feeding ourselves on? You know, we need sometimes to make choices, recalibrate our lives. You know, we won't gorge ourselves on loads of food continually. We will, you know, maybe go to the gym, take a walk, do other things. Think about that spiritually as well. Use time to search out stuff. If you don't like reading, get audios, get videos. But whatever it is, be a self-feeder. This is a mature church. That's a revival church. God's life will invigorate you and bring you back to life. But that's the personal responsibility. It's not Jane and my responsibility or other leaders here to feed you only. We're here to help you and encourage you. But we all have a personal responsibility. That wasn't a nag. That's meant to be an encouragement. Please take it as such. Factor in chunks of time to spend with just you and Jesus. Really baseline, really obvious. But I was joking about a date morning with Jane. But like, you need to draw your life from Jesus. You need to get to know him. That isn't just like, I've got to spend time with him. I've got to read the Bible. Just be at ease in that. But spend time with the Holy Spirit. Worship him, whatever. It doesn't just have to be on a Sunday morning, but it's key to that revival life. It won't just happen by osmosis, by surrounding yourself by other Christians. We need to take personal responsibility. Spend time with Jesus. You'll notice the difference immediately. He loves spending time with you. He's with you always, but he just wants to hear your voice, and he wants to speak into your life, and he will. Be encouraged. People say, I don't hear from God. You will. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. Expect to hear God speak. He'll speak maybe gently, sweetly, but you'll hear God's voice. He will in those times. If you've got the TV on, the music in, busy, 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 when's he going to get a look in? Factor chunks of time to spend with you. And once again, really, coming to land almost where we began, there's the whole thing of really not fully handing over the reins of our life to Jesus. And with the inevitable outcome, really, of being stuck in a no man's land between two kingdoms of darkness and light. We haven't quite left one, haven't quite entered into another. Many of the Israelites in the Bible stories succumbed to this tragic situation in the wilderness when, having been freed from slavery in Egypt, which is really a typology or a picture of the world, Egypt represented that, they then vacillated between entering into the land, the wonderful land flowing with milk and honey that God had promised, or maybe just going back and returning to Egypt. And sadly, many of them died in that place. And tragically, though not literally, many Christians have a sort of a living death. They've never entered that abundant life. They spend their life never in their hearts having fully left, never having fully entered. And actually, it's a no man's land. It's a wilderness because you vacillate. And that is not where God wants us to be. Fortunately, the promised land, Jesus, and all he's provided for us, is there. We don't have to march for a number of days to get there. It's there for us all, always. But we do have to surrender our lives, hand over the reins, and enter into it fully and not look back. It's good things in the promised land. Do we want to revival to come to our town, our region, our nation? It will only ever happen when not only do we have God, but actually he has us. Personal revival is not about goosebumps, though we should always expect to experience God's supernatural life, and I love experiencing God's supernatural life. But it really has everything to do with total surrender of our lives to him. Our dreams, our relationships, our finances, our jobs, our retirement plans, everything. It's like sound desk up there, you can't see all the sliders on. But just picture it like that, pulling back those sliders to zero, saying, Lord, it's yours. Push the sliders ahead that you want to do. But it's a win-win situation. Like Derek Prince says, it's the divine exchange. We give him our life, but he gives us his life. That's where revival starts. That's what it means to start living in revival. Yes, it is about the Holy Spirit coming, but it's about our response to that, how we engage with that and say yes to that. Yes, in a way we say yes to other things. I don't do the lottery, never done it, but if you won £10 million and someone hand you that check, you say yes and you bank it. People are unashamed about doing that. They put the money in the bank. It's mine now. We've got to have that attitude of ownership of what Jesus has done for us. And saying yes to that. As it Paul says, I lay hold of everything for which Christ laid hold of me. It's all ours. Why would we not want it? We need to respond to this. We need to respond to this. It's challenging to me, and it's challenging to us all. As I say, God has set us a high bar in calling us Revival Church Billericay. But he set us a high bar because he wants us to meet there. He hasn't set us up to fail. The Holy Spirit is with us, championing us on, encouraging us on. He wants us individually and corporately to live that out. So that day in, day out, we do lead those victorious lives. We're not having to say, oh, I'm victorious. Actually, the life of God flows through us in a victory way. We just bow our heads. I'm just going to pray. If you'd like to respond, can I just ask you if you're able to stand to your feet? But if you're not, your hearts, and God knows your hearts can engage in that as well. You know, so if you're able to, if you want to respond positively, you know, you don't need to know particularly well I'm going to pray, but if you just want to respond positively to what I've been talking about this morning, in other words, you want everything that God has for you, just can you stand to your feet or respond in your heart if you aren't able to stand to your feet, you know. God understands that. And this thing about just leaving completely our old life. And I know we've done that spiritually when we've given our lives to the Lord. But there's sometimes an intention saying, look, do you know what? I'm crossing a line. I really am wanting to embrace the fullness of Christ's life in me. I don't want to look back to my metaphorical Egypt anymore. I don't want to have cast an eye back and thinking maybe the grass was greener. I'm committed to Jesus being Lord, not just Saviour. Because I want to experience that full life that Jesus has promised, life in its fullness, but I want to minister that life, whatever that looks like, throughout the course of my life to the people I connect with daily, to my family, friends, work colleagues, whoever, and recognizing that unless we have a full personal revival, unless we're fully birthed, have that full assurance of the life of Christ, unless we say yes completely, somehow, you know, just we're stuck between, it's stuck in no man's land. And, you know, we might have done this before, and we can't step far, there's not much space between our seats, but just step forward, just to step into, just even if it's a little PE step, just I'm going to do that as well, just step forward and say, Jesus, yes, we make this decision now, we're stepping forward and leaving everything ourself. Lord, we say yes fully to you. If you just want to agree in your heart, you don't have to say out loud, just say an amen to that. Lord Jesus, we say yes fully to you. We surrender afresh, Lord. We surrender our lives to you, many of us already, but afresh we say yes, Jesus, fully to your life in us. And we say, Lord, have your way. Have the reins of our life. And as we give you afresh the reins of our life, we give you permission, I give you permission to show me how I need to realign, recalibrate my life in a way that I allow your life just to flood through me, to impact not just a Sunday morning, not just a quiet time, but just every area of my life. Lord, I thank you. Your word says your Holy Spirit is our helper. In whatever way we need help now to allow your revival life to flow through us, to impact us, would you do that, Lord? And I just pray now, if you want to put your hands out, you want a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit, if you want a first filling of the Holy Spirit, we need God's life. If we love God, we have that spirit of adoption, but we need his life. We need his life to minister to the world out there. So Holy Spirit, we prayed this in the song earlier, but would you revive us afresh? Fill us, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord God. Thank you, Spirit has been poured out. We say yes to you, Holy Spirit. Revive us, refresh us. Lord God, for a world that needs to know your love and that you're real. Come, Lord God. Come, Lord, increase. Fully, Lord. Fully, Lord. We lay to be fully, Lord, those dark places. Search out, Lord God, the dark places. We give you permission. I give you permission, Lord God, to go to those places where the doors close, Lord God. Open them. I lay you in. Free reign. Have me, Lord God. Consume me, search me, try me, consume all my darkness. Show me if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Be Lord of my thinking, of my heart, of my body, of my actions, of my time, my finances. Be Lord. I thank you, Lord, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus, and yet, Holy Spirit, you convict and convince. Thank you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord. And I want to pray, Lord, in these days we would have testimony, Lord, of what you've done on this day in lives in the coming weeks and months. Already, Lord God, we would have stepped up as a church into your revival life, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We give you glory, honor and praise. We thank you. To call ourselves Revival Church, but Ricky, means that you want us to have life in its fullness. And we thank you. You're such a good God. We give you glory, honor, and praise. Glory, honor, and praise. And if you put your hands together, give Lord a praise to God. Praise God. We thank you. Praise God. Amen. Please grab yourself a seat. God is good. And whatever, however you responded, be expectant that God will take you at your word. He's a good God and he wants the best for each of us. He'll work that in our lives. Be expectant. Well, grab yourself a tea and coffee. Catch up with people. Say hello to maybe someone you don't know. God is always in the business of reviving it. If you have maybe a healing need or you need a word of encouragement, maybe a prophetic word, our ministry team will be, there'll be people around here just to pray with you if you have a need like that. If you just need a bit of strengthening, you know, just come to the front, just at the end, while people are having teas and coffees, and maybe someone can pray for you. Not maybe, someone can pray for you, stand with you in whatever way that might be needed. Bless you. All is revealed.